If you'll remember in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, we looked at verses all the way down through verse 11 last week, and one of the main emphasis was on verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. We skip down tonight as we look at verses 12 through 16. Now, I believe there are two basic statements that every Christian who is a growing Christian in this place tonight would have to agree with, and that is number one, we have failed in the past, and by that I mean that we have fallen short of God's goal for our lives. And secondly, we are dissatisfied with our present spiritual state. That is, we want to become more like Jesus every day. And when Barb sang that verse a few moments ago that speaks about being alarmed at the changes in the world, if there ever was a time that I think Christian people ought to be alarmed, I think it's in the present time that we live in. Barb, you couldn't have picked a better song to sing tonight. Thank you so much for doing that and the wonderful spirit with which you did that. And as I think tonight, whether or not we know it, one of the most important things in all of life is that when he breathed into you and me the breath of life, the Bible says we became a living soul. He didn't just create us for the sake of creation. He created us with a purpose. He created each of us with a plan in mind to be a part of his kingdom's work. And I think so many people go through life. They're not contented where they are. And I think for the Christian in particular, I think that the disrest comes when we know there's so much more we could be, so much more we could do for the Lord than so often our life dictates. And so tonight I want us to look at Paul's examination here. He says, he speaks about pressing toward the goal of life. You will remember that God had called the Apostle Paul. He called him to preach to the Gentiles. It would be once Paul had his conversion experience that he would go off to Arabia and he would learn. And it would be all through Galatia and through all that known parts of the world that he would establish churches. He would preach. He would teach. He would use the power of the resurrection in his life as given to him by God to reach out to heal many people and to do the various things that he was able to do through the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. It would be through the Holy Spirit that he would pen at least a third of the New Testament so that we would have that. We looked, I believe, last week and talked a lot about his pedigree, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin. He sat at the seat of Gamaliel, one of the great rabbi teachers of the day, and all of the things that he stood for, the law, the being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, all of those kinds of things. But when you go to the self-evaluation of his life, you look at the examination of his life, I want you to think of all the reasons tonight that the Apostle Paul would have had to stick out his chest and to crow about in his Christian life. Handpicked by God to be an apostle to the Gentiles, God would use him to record the inspired words of God. He would be a great soul winner of all soul winners in the world. The Apostle Paul would certainly be up there at the top. A great preacher, a great expositor of the Word of God. It seemed that Paul would have had all of his ducks in a row and that he would be making the grade for Jesus. Any of us that would look at the Apostle Paul's life, we would probably all conclude that Paul had certainly arrived. But Paul knew the truth. He had not arrived. He was still working toward his ultimate goal, and that was perfect Christ-likeness. Notice, if you will, in verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And so Paul, very plainly, he gives us why he is so passionate about why he does what he does. These verses characterize with descriptive language the Christian race for which he is running. There in verse 12, we see that he says, not that I have already attained. You see, he is running a race. He speaks about apprehending there. To apprehend means to lay hold on something. And Paul is saying there, I'm pursuing the goal of laying hold on that Jesus had laid hold on me for. I would ask each one of us tonight, are we apprehending? Are we laying hold on what Jesus has laid hold on us for and to do? Paul would never be satisfied. Paul realized until he had apprehended that which he had been apprehended for. Now, what are we doing about what God saved us for? Many of us are stuck on salvation. And by that, I mean that as we got saved, that's as far as a lot of people ever go. They get saved, they're sanctified, they're set apart, but they're also satisfied. You know, I oftentimes quote from hymns because I think they speak to the heart of the matter. I'm satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me when I think of Calvary, is the Master, is he satisfied with me? And so tonight, let nothing satisfy you but satisfying him. Now, Paul says there in this verse 13, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Remember, that word means to lay hold of something. But one thing I do. But one thing I do. Paul, as a specialist, just like an Olympic athlete, Paul specified or specialized in one thing. And that one thing was reaching the goal for which Christ had set for his life. And so if you want to know the secret of Paul's success, it's that Paul had a one-track mind. And there was nothing as important to him but to please the Lord. You and I live in a world today, as that song mentioned a few, there are so many things that alarm me out there in the world, which I am not charmed by whatsoever. It's alarming to me the direction I see a nation going that totally wants to rid God out of its thinking, that wants to take human life. I read just today, 62 million babies have been aborted in America, or abortions. The article went on to say that the number one cause of death in the USA is abortion, surpassing cancer and some of these other diseases. If you can only imagine, how on earth could that be pleasing to the God who gives life, that knew us before we ever were conceived, that had a plan in our life, that had a purpose in our life. And Paul was saying, that's the most important thing in all the world to me, is to apprehend, to lay hold on the thing that God wants me to lay hold on to. And that was that he had a one-track mind, and his focus was nothing other than to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I ask myself the question, Lord, is my life pleasing to you? Lord, am I apprehending all that you apprehended for me? For he has an individual plan. You see, we are so busy in life being distracted with trying to please so many entities or so many people that, you know, one of these days to stand in the judgment of the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not going to be about pleasing people. It's going to be about, did I please you? It will not be that people will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but that he would say, well done. I believe the Apostle Paul, this one thing he said, I do this one thing. One thing. Most of us are pulled and tugged in a thousand different directions. And there's only one thing that will ever matter in life. It's how well you and I run the race that is set before us. Notice he goes on and he says in verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, Paul, even with all of his accomplishments, with all of his pedigree, with all that he could get in the flesh and crow about, Paul realized he had not arrived. He was not finished with the race. There was never a place to quit. There was never a place to stop. And he said, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul would not rest on his laurels, thinking about his past accomplishments. Now, I have come to believe as I look at human life that people are living in one of three states. Now, Paul said, in whatsoever state I find myself therewith to be content. I believe that people tonight are either living in the past or the present, or they're living in the future. I believe that many people find themselves disheartened. I think many people find themselves discouraged because they're looking to the past. They're either reflecting upon the accolades and all of their accomplishments that they've made in life, or else they're looking back with regret. They're looking back with regret. Wisha, would've, could've, did've, if there is such a term. You know, can I, coulda, woulda, shoulda, did-a. And I believe that many people are trapped. And I think the devil loves that. I think that the Apostle Paul knew the secret of that. Paul would be saying, I'm not going to be trapped by the past. There were things in the past that I woefully regret before I ever met Christ. There were things in the past I wish I would have done differently. You know, the Apostle Paul, pretty much everywhere he went, he created an uproar. He created a problem. I mean, there were always people against him. I mean, you know, if you speak the truth, you know, people in the day that you and I live in, people don't know what truth is because we live in a very relativistic society, where truth just becomes whatever's relative to you at the moment. If it's okay for you, then it must be truth. But Paul realized there was an absolute truth, and it was the Word of God. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Let me tell you, if you and I are not living in the present with our eyes on the future of where we someday will be, to realize that the great reward of the future is to stand in the presence. You know, when you were back in school, if you can remember that far back, do you remember when you got your report card? Some of us bit our fingernails off for fear that our parents would reprimand us woefully for what we should have done that we didn't do. Or if you were the type of student that, you know, you were a straight A or A, back in those days, it was A plus, A minus, you know, all of those kinds of things. And you anticipated when you knew that you did well or you felt that you did well, you anticipated the great reward of an accomplishment, which the reward may have been a pat on the back or attaboy. Or you know, just that feeling that came over you of a great accomplishment. Paul was looking with anticipation that when he would stand in the presence of the Lord, to hear the Lord say, well done. That was his one focus. He said, forgetting that which is behind. And notice what he said, pressing forward. And of course, he uses this in relation to all of those games as an athlete would do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. It's like you're coming up to the finish line and you're out of breath and you're exhausted, but you want to make the finish line and you stretch yourself and you reach forth. And that's what Paul's doing here. He said, in reaching forward to those things which are ahead. To those things which are ahead. Let me tell you, I really believe tonight that many, many Christians have failed in their attempt to reach forward. I think they're stuck in salvation. They got saved. They didn't reject the message. They received it. But they just didn't move beyond that place and time. There's a song called Wasted Years. Ken, you and Barb probably know that song or have sung it at some point. But Wasted Years. And you think of the many Christians tonight that really are wasting their lives. Because God has a plan. God has a purpose that he wants us to accomplish. Paul, he wasn't content to sit around and wait for life to happen. He was busy making it happen. He was out there reaching for all he could do for the sake of Jesus. Notice he said, I press, in verse 14, I press toward the goal. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The mark, I press toward the mark. That word mark refers to the goal that one has in view. In other words, Paul was oblivious to his surroundings. He was just heading for the goal. He wanted to finish well. No wonder he would later say to young Timothy and 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. If tonight mine or your departure was at hand, and we knew that before morning the Lord would call us out of this world, would you be able to close your eyes with assurance to say, I've fought the good fight? I finished the course. I kept the faith. You see, Paul was always ever conscious of the fact that regardless, come what may, his number one emphasis would be on reaching the goal for which Christ had called him, this high calling that he had. God help each one of us to keep our eye on the go. God is honored by a race that's well run and a race that's well lived. Let me tell you, Paul was not easily distracted. Now, you and I are living in a time in American society where things are changing much more rapidly than you and I could ever begin to change. When I heard Barbara sing that song a while ago and overcome with emotion, Barbara, thank you for that. I think your emotion spoke volumes. And when I think about that, that ought to be the heart cry of every one of us, that even though there have been times that I failed him, I've never been out of his care. Let me ask you a question tonight. What if, let's pretend hypothetically, we know it's not true, but what if there were no Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, for many out there in the world tonight, they've not met him. They don't know him in a personal way. Let me tell you, I've failed the Lord many times in my Christian life. I'm sure that I will fail him many more times before I stand in his presence face to face. But I want you to know I have the peace, I have the calmness, I have the assurance in my heart that even though I've failed him, I've never been out of his care, because he has known me before I ever was. He has been my watch care. I can't even comprehend tonight how people even think in this world without that kind of peace. I'll tell you how they do it. It's because Satan has distracted them. Satan is the great deceiver, according to the Bible. He's a great murderer. Let me tell you, he will murder your time if you let him. He will distract you in every way that he can in order that we would not accomplish the goal for which we're running in our life. Paul gives his examination. We see his exertion is to run the race and finish the goal. But in verse 14, we also see Paul's expectation. He tells us that he's running. And what he's running for, he's running for the prize. That's the reward in the victor's race. He knew beyond a shadow of doubt God called him for a reason. He also knew that successful completion of that goal would allow him to enjoy the rewards of the Lord someday. Jesus saved you and me so that we could accomplish his kingdom's purpose. Paul got what he was after. In fact, he would say there in his latter part of life, henceforth, that word means therefore, because of. Henceforth, there is laid up for me, what? A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them all that love his appearing. Let me tell you, Paul refers to the prize. And the prize is his high calling. Let me ask you a question tonight. What is your high calling? What is it that he wants to fulfill your life with peace and joy and a striving to reach that goal? In verses 15 and 16, Paul is simply telling us that this is the mature Christian's attitude. He said in 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Let me tell you, if you and I are to succeed in the Christian life, if we are to honor God by the lives that we live, then we have to run the race His way. Ken won a song called His Way Mine. His way, mine. That should be the motivation, I believe, of every mature person who wants to go on with Christ. Let me tell you, there's a song we sing from time to time that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. May God bless you tonight. Thank you for your faithfulness to be here. For those that are listening by live stream, thank you for your faithfulness to tune in to be a part of these services. May God help us as we study his word together. May we go on to maturity, because that is having the mind of Christ. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, God. You said that in the midst of two or three, you would be with us. God, even though we have more than that here tonight, I thank you that we're never out of your care. God, I pray for your infinite mercy and loving grace and peace to help us during such challenging, unprecedented times. And I pray that our focus would not be upon these challenges that would distract or bring discouragement to us, but Father, that our focus would be upon the living hope, to know that we're in a race down here. We have an opportunity, we have a choice. We either run the race with patience that's set before us and to try to hear the words, well done, someday. Or Father, we sit on the sidelines wasting opportunity after opportunity that you have chosen to give us the breath of life to seize the day and the opportunities at hand. Father, help us never to grow weary in well-doing, but help us to work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work and run the race that is set before us. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the wonderful hope. Thank you, God, for the positive attitude of the Apostle Paul that renews within us a burning zeal and passion, desire to love you more, to serve you more fully, and to live more maturely as you would have us to live. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you for being here tonight. If any of you still want to give to Missions Louisiana, I'll be down here at the front if you want to, if you weren't prepared the other night and want to give. I know we took up at least $3,400, and there are some more that may have come in since then. And so I hope that we're able to give them somewhere around $5,000 to help with this Louisiana mission project. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. I love you. God loves you. And we've got a church family that loves you. Please do your best to keep the faith and to keep a positive outlook and a positive uplook, because Jesus is coming someday. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. See you on Sunday morning.